Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard. Starting in verse 13, it reads, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is a first installment of our inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the boundless greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might." As I shared last week, started on this subject, that I believe here in this passage we see the two keys to a successful Christian life. Two keys to being able to share your faith with someone else. And what we see here is when we come into agreement with the Word and with the Spirit, mighty things will begin to break loose in our lives and in the lives of people we are sharing with and we are ministering to. Paul said, after listening to the message of the truth, you believed and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And he talks about praying that you would come to know what is the greatness of his power toward us who believe. Amen? So, as we looked at first point last week, there has to be an active knowledge of God in your life. Is the Word changing you and challenging you daily? Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." As you read the word of God, it will be active. It will be alive in your life. Amen? It'll start changing you and molding you and forming you into the image of God, the image of Christ, because Jesus is the Word, right? So as we read the Word and we put the Word in, it'll start to change us. It'll start making us more like Jesus. Amen. Thank you for that resounding amens there. But it will. It will change you. Say, well, how do you know? Well, I know it changed me. I've known other people that it changes. It works. Plus, the Word says that it'll change you. Amen? It says it'll divide to the very soul, very asunder. It'll get into your mind. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you act. It'll change the way that you treat people. It'll change the way that you treat your spouse. It'll change the way you treat your children. It'll change the way you treat your co-workers. Everything about you will begin to change as you allow the Word of God to take up residence in you. You have to have a knowledge of the Word of God. Amen? You don't have to know everything about the Word. You just have to have a basic understanding of what the Word says and who God is. Right? Sometimes we get so wrapped up that we have to know and memorize. Nothing wrong with memorizing Scripture. We should memorize as much as we can. But we tend to shy back and think, well, I just don't know enough to share my faith? Yes, you do. Amen? You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You've got the Word of God. If you've been to this church very much, you've had the Word of God just crammed into you. Every week, we give you the Word. Amen? You don't want my opinion or Brother Clint or Brother Jim's opinion or Mike or Pastor Karen, whoever else gets up here and ministers, you don't want our opinion on anything, because our opinion's not going to save you. Our opinion's not going to meet your needs. Our opinion's not going to be there in the middle of the night when something's going on in your life, but the Word of God will be. Amen? And we looked at, you need to have a growing knowledge. You need to have fresh knowledge, spiritual nourishment. If you don't eat for a few weeks, some of us, me included, we probably could, right? And we're going to eventually need food. We're going to start starving. We're going to be now malnourished. The same way in our spirit. If we don't feed the Word to our spirit man becomes weak and malnourished, and it's not going to be powerful in our lives. Your knowledge needs to be refreshed and renewed. You need to read His Word and have an understanding of His will and His purpose revealed to you or strengthened in you. But that Word needs to be shared with other people. We looked at last week several scriptures that showed the importance of speaking the Word of God. When you speak the Word of God, you're tapping into limitless power. Speak God's Word to people. Speak God's Word in truth. Speak God's Word in love, because when you do, you're opening up a whole new dimension to them. People that have no hope, when you speak the Word of God, you bring hope into that situation. Amen? Amen? People say, well, don't get your hopes up. Don't get their hopes up. That's exactly what I'm trying to do when I bring the message of Jesus Christ to them. Amen? We are messengers of hope. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of hope. The Word of God tells us time and time again, don't fear, don't get into the things like that. But He tells us time and time again to put our trust and hope in God. He is the God of hope. Amen? So when we're speaking the Word, we're opening up those new dimensions to people. Well, God can meet that need. God loves you. God cares about you. Amen? God loves you enough that He sent some people across your path tonight to share Jesus with you. Amen? We can do finds all kinds of things. God wants to meet that need. Amen? So we need to get a hold of that. Tell people what God's Word says about the situation they may be facing in life, and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move in their lives and move in their hearts and move in their minds. As you do this, you're coming into agreement with God, what God says about that situation. See, that's what speaking the Word is all about. Is that you are coming into agreement with what God says about the situation. If you're speaking that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus, you're bringing hope into that situation. Right? Or that my God, He told me to pray for you, that lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He says, if any of you be sick in the church, let them call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil and let them pray the prayer of faith and they shall be healed and shall be raised up. Amen? That's what the Word says. We're just agreeing with the Word. We don't have any way to change and affect a change in their life. The only thing that affects a change in their life is the power of God and the Word of God. And we're just getting in agreement with both. We're allowing God to use us as a vessel to allow His power to flow through us and allow the Spirit of God to speak through that and to bring something new into their situation. And we're opening the door for people to do the same thing. When we begin to speak the word, when we begin to open up that new dimension to them and allow the word to change them and allow the Holy Spirit to change them, then we're opening up a new dimension to them also. People are like, wow, God really loves me? Yeah. He's not mad at you. He doesn't hate you. He's not standing there in judgment of you. Amen. That's what Jesus said. He said, I didn't come to judge the world. Right? He came to love people and to bring people into a relationship. The thing is, if you don't believe in the Word and you don't believe in the power of God to change people's lives, you're not going to be willing to share it with people. So we've got to get past that. Tell people what the Word of God says about peace and about hope and about freedom. Amen? We've got to know that, though. We've got to know that our God is a God who cares about them. As I said last week, when God created the world and He spoke everything into existence, that basically, you know, the earth was void and formless. It was in chaos. It was in disorder. And God spoke. He said, let us make man in our own image. And the Word of God says that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. God reached down into that chaos. He reached down into that disorder and He formed man. And it also says He reached down into that chaos and disorder and He formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky. Same thing, the same principle. The same God who reached down into that chaos and that disorder and that dysfunction can reach down into people's lives and bring order. Amen? Doesn't matter. He's the same God, same yesterday, today, and forever. But there also has to be an understanding, a belief in the power of God in your life, and also an awareness of that power. You're a little power plant just walking around. Amen? You are. The Word of God says when you get born again, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, that the Holy Spirit comes to stay and take up residence in you. The Word of God says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, does it not?
It does.
Do you believe that? Amen. At least two or three of you believe it. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you. You've got Him on the inside of you. Amen. Power. The Holy Spirit is all about power. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, we can't just have the Word and teaching without the Holy Spirit. Well, you can, but it just becomes dry, becomes religion, becomes a philosophy. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Believe in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. That your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Hallelujah. You may be able to preach the house down and be so intellectual and full of wisdom. If you don't have the power of God, it's not going to change people's lives. Amen? Smith Wigglesworth, one of the most famous preachers that ever lived, one of the most powerful preachers, the one that demonstrated, he was a plumber. Didn't even know how educated, don't even know how, what level of education he had. But the man could preach, and the man seen people raised from the dead. He seen all kinds of things happen because he believed in the power of God. Amen? Power of God. You've got that same power on the inside of you. Faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Two things should be operating in your life. Two agencies, if you will, whatever you want to call it. Two truths. You need to have the Word of God, and you need to have the power of God. Amen? And you need to be operating in both, sharing both. Sharing the Word of God, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing what the Word says about people's situation. But also be filled with the Holy Spirit and trust in the Holy Spirit to effect a change in their life immediately. Amen? Power. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it came about one day that he was teaching, talking about Jesus, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who'd come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. The power of the Lord was there. Amen? He taught them. Teaching the word, but the power of the Lord was present there. And this is the story about when they ripped the roof off the house to get the paralyzed man in there. Amen? And he was healed. The power was there. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Talking about the Word and the Spirit going hand in hand. You can't distinguish between the two. I mean, they're inseparable. You've got Jesus, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Both of them are God. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 says, "And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing." And down in verse 6 it says, "In departing, they began going out among the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, he not only sent out the 12, then he sent out the 70. And verse 17 says, "And this 70, Luke 10, 17, "And 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven.'" Hallelujah. Don't get a big head, basically. Amen. Just because that happened, the biggest thing you should get excited about is your names are written down in heaven, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is just part and parcel. Amen. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we have the power of God. When something arises in our life through the name of Jesus, we have the power and the authority to take care of it. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. The Word and the Spirit, hand in hand. The Word and the Spirit, Romans 15, verse 18 and 19, says, "For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Praise the Lord. Power of signs and wonders, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible shows very clearly that we need two of them, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, actively working in our lives. Amen? Look at Romans 15, 13. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit empowers you to have hope. Amen? He empowers you to share hope. Because the Holy Spirit is there to bring hope and to bring freedom and to bring deliverance into people's situations. Amen? To bring restoration. Hallelujah. Tell people from God's Word the gospel message that pertains to their situation, and then pray for and expect the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. Praise the Lord. When we walk in the Word and the Spirit, it opens up to us a destiny in a far greater measure than any other thing we'd ever experienced in the past. People say, "Well, that stuff, that power stuff went away with the apostles." No, it didn't. No. They usually use one verse to say that. But the fact of the matter is you can discount that verse and you can prove that it's not talking about, but in totality, think about this. The Word of God, God says that He never changes, right? Never changes. Malachi 3:6, Numbers 23:19, Psalm 102. God never changes. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. It also says in Matthew 24:35 and Isaiah 40 verse 8 that the Word never changes. So if the Word, which is Jesus, never changes, and God the Father never changes, why would the Holy Spirit change? Why would the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit that was there for the early church, was there to birth the church, the day of Pentecost, He was there. Why would it change? Why would He change? He didn't. Amen? He didn't. We see the Holy Spirit moving all over the world today. Global awakening, whatever you want to call it, in places where they don't have hospitals, they don't have an emergency room in every little town. They don't have multiple doctors. They don't have enough food. They don't have all kinds of things. They don't have a convenience store where we can run and get milk and we can run and get a loaf of bread. We can run and whatever. They just don't have it. They have to trust God. Amen? I had a good friend. He's an emergency room doctor. Has a ministry over in Zimbabwe and and where they take teams of doctors and nurses and dentists, and they go and they help people. And I remember many years ago when they first started going there, he talked about how people, when they would just give people an orange, a navel orange, how that they thought that like they were giving them a Mercedes or something. Think about that. An orange. Amen? That's the type of places where people only have the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They have nothing else. And God moves. He's the same there as He is here. We just don't believe Him. Amen? We don't. All that stuff went away with the apostles. No, it did not. Just because you don't believe it anymore doesn't mean that it doesn't happen anymore. It just, the only thing it means is you're missing out. You're missing out on the power of God. You're missing out on the things that God wants to do in your life. Amen? You can't tell me it doesn't work. I've seen it work. Amen? The power of God released into people's body to effect a healing, to effect a change. So, if the Word never changes, Jesus never changes, God never changes, the Holy Spirit never changes, He still wants to move in people's lives today. Amen? But the thing we have to remember is the Word of God always takes precedence over our experience. Because people, some of us in here have seen some of it over the years. People get a little wacky, goofy. You know? People doing stuff and say, well, that's the Spirit of God. No, it's not. God's not going to tell you to cluck like a chicken. God's not going to tell you to do goofy stuff. Amen? God's only going to tell you things to do that line up with the Word. And you can always balance what is going on by what you find in the Word. A spiritual experience that does not find its basis in the Word of God lacks purpose, and it puts people in danger of manipulation and deception. I've talked to people that got way off, have their own theology, talking to God, a God, they said. They called it the real God, and I'm like, no, you're not. That's a deception. Amen? People running from one spiritual experience to another. Doesn't happen so much today, but there was a time back in the 80s and 90s, people were running from one meeting to another to get prayed for and to get hands laid on them and to have something imparted to them. And they never changed. A lot of them aren't even in church anymore because it wasn't balanced with the Word. If you can't find it in the Word, you need to forget about it. Amen. Amen? It's the truth. The Word of God keeps us on course when we are in the midst of a move of the Spirit. It keeps us moving forward in the purpose of God. Look at Acts chapter 2. Praise the Lord. The greatest example of this is found in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. So when you look at this, there's some things here that you see that took place on that historic day. In verse 5, it says there were people from all nations that were present there, and they heard him speaking in their own languages. It brought confusion. It brought amazement. It brought perplexity to people. It blew people's minds. And then it caused other people in verse 13 just to mock what was going on, saying these people were just drunk. These were the initial responses to the working of the Holy Spirit. People still feel the same way today when they experience the power of God moving mightily in a church service or a prayer meeting. They do. Seen it happen. People get freaked out. You know, praying for somebody and they go down under the power of the Holy Spirit. Freaks some people out. Now, when it's real, nothing. I've seen people fall and bounce their head off the floor. They get up, nothing ever happened. I've also been catching people. Many times you miss people like that sometimes because they just go straight down like a sack of potatoes. Other time I always call them courtesy falls. You know, you're praying for somebody and they're like all rigid and they just go back and their knees are locked and they're just falling for the sake of falling. It's nothing that has to do with the power of God. Amen. People get freaked out over that stuff like that. Doesn't happen all the time. Shouldn't happen all the time. It's only as the Spirit of God is moving. When it has to happen all the time, and when somebody, you know, always has to give a prophecy, or somebody in a church has to have a tongue every service or whatever, that's wrong. Amen. That's getting off base. Do we believe in it happening? Absolutely. Do you see it happen very often? No. But we believe it can happen, right? When you have to manufacture things is when it gets off base. It's got to be the Spirit of God, right? We're talking about the power of God. But notice what happens here. When all this, these people are confused, some people are amazed. It says in verse 7, they were amazed and marveled. Like, what's going on here? Verse 12, they continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does all this mean? People have the same reaction. What does that mean when somebody falls under the power of God? But notice what happens in verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea, all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind, And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my bondslaves, both men and women. I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what happens in the midst of all this confusion and people being perplexed, people being confused? Peter brings the word of God into the situation to bring clarity and purpose to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Verse 22, he says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst. Just as you yourselves know, this man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by his power." And then he goes on to quote David. Peter just keeps bringing the word. Amen? He uses the word to bring definition and a purpose to what the Holy Spirit is doing in that situation. He said, this is what the prophet Joel prophesied about years ago. This is the Holy Spirit being poured out upon all flesh. People are prophesying. People were hearing people prophesy in their own language, their own native language. But Peter, everybody's all freaked out about what's going on, but Peter brings them all back to the Word. That's what the Spirit and the Word have to work together. When you have the two working together, in concert together, it will change people's lives. Amen? We need to recognize the importance of the balance between the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Word of God is closed to our understanding and has little meaning to us apart from the illumination given by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is hindered in speaking clear and life-changing truth apart from the Word of God. Amen? If someone ever tries to say, "I've got a word for you," or whatever, and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you need to just forget it. Amen? Or the Lord told me, I was praying and the Lord told me this about you, that you needed to do this. Okay. The Lord talks to me too. If it doesn't bear witness with your spirit, forget it. Amen. The results of the Word partnering with the Spirit of God. If you look at verse 37, there in Acts chapter 4. So Peter, the Holy Spirit's being poured out. People are speaking in tongues. People are hearing the people speak in their own language. Amen? There's been instances around the world where preachers have been preaching the word and they've started praying, or they've been preaching in tongues, a language they didn't know. And people come up and say, "You were speaking perfect dialect." And they get saved. Amen? "You were speaking my dialect perfectly. Where'd you learn that?" "Never heard it before in my life." That's supernatural power of God. Amen? You say, "Well, that's impossible." Well, we serve the God of the impossible. Amen? Amen. Because we always try to filter everything through our own understanding. But God is a supernatural God. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, Peter's preaching them, preaching the word. The Holy Spirit's moving. When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" So, when the Word and the Spirit partner together, one of the first things that's going to happen is conviction of the Holy Spirit is released into someone's life. Amen. Verse 38. And Peter said to them, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself." The second thing is there's going to be repentance. Amen. And then verse 41, "So then those who have received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls." So when Peter began to speak the word of God into the confusion, into the perplexity, into the wonder, into the move, he brought definition and purpose to the move of the Spirit. People were convicted by it, by the word. People repented, and people were saved. That's the whole thing about preaching the word or sharing the word and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. It isn't to show how spiritual you are, how anointed we are. It's to bring people into the kingdom of God. That's its sole purpose. Amen? Praise the Lord. So then we see later on, they were committed to each other. Total commitment. And the church was launched that day. From that day forth, the church has just been expanding around the globe, around the world. People being added to the kingdom of God. But just imagine what would have occurred had the Word of God not been introduced to that scenario. It would have been a spiritual mess. The wonderful experience in the Holy Spirit would have been produced, or would have produced nothing but confusion, fear, bewilderment, and mocking. And the Lord Jesus Christ would not have been glorified. It took the Holy Spirit and the Word of God working together to bring glory to God. Amen? And to produce glory for Him. The power of change comes through agreement. When we are applying the Word of God to the areas the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about, there's an agreement there that releases the power of God into our situation, and it releases the power of God into other people's situation. So, we want God to change us. We want Him to change other people's lives. We want Him to change people's situations. Amen? So we need to introduce them to the Word of God and the power of God. We've got both. We just got to be bold enough to step out and do it. And I'll close with this. When the emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is in proper balance in our lives, the result is a life of power and great fruitfulness in which our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is honored and glorified. As you continue to allow the Holy Spirit to control and empower you, and as you meditate upon the Word of God hiding it in your heart, Your life will be more and more of an expression of Jesus Christ. And you will produce the fruit found in Galatians chapter 5. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Father, we're so thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit who lives in us and dwells in us and empowers us to do the things that you've called us to do. And Father, I pray that as I've shared this message today, that those here this morning, those who listen to this podcast later on, will just be encouraged to speak the word of God with boldness, to pray with boldness and with power, and just trust you to move and to effect a change in people's lives and in a situation, people's circumstances. Father, I just thank you for that. And I pray that, Lord, just asking you to move in all of our lives, that we can be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. Use us, Lord. Use us in this community. Use us in our jobs. Use us in our homes. Use us in our extended families. Lord, we just thank you for that and praise you for that. That you've equipped us to do everything you've called us to do through the Spirit and through the Word. Thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.